Can I tell you, go ahead and put that building back up, John. This is exciting. I don't know about you, but this is exciting. Because it lets us step into the destiny that God has for this church. You know, years ago, the church in Colorado Springs, it was one of the first churches planted in our fellowship. It wasn't the very first, but it was aligned with one of the first, there in the early beginning. And different things have happened. And Pastor Romero made a statement. He said, Pastor Romero is the pastor of The Door, which is a fellowship church that is on the north side of Academy. He said, this is a time where we as our fellowship can reestablish ourselves in Colorado Springs. And I thought that was mighty. And I thought that was wonderful. Listen, it's not anything that I do or my wife does, but it's because we have a vision that is bigger than just these four walls. Amen. And we are, by the grace of God, we are going to believe God that God is going to, listen, that God has already given us that building. Amen. That God has already given us that place where we are going to be able to just be in the enjoyment of all that God has. How much can we do with a building to that capacity? Endless. So I ask you to keep that in mind. Amen. Hallelujah. This morning, glory to God, I'm going to preach a sermon entitled, How Secure Are You? How many know this morning that there are so many insecurities that we have? There are so many things that make us feel, amen, like we are less of what we are. We're going to look at the book of Philippians, chapter 1. We're going to read, starting in verse 3. Philippians, chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 3. The Word of God says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you, for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We honor and glorify your name this morning. Help us to understand that our security, our confidence, it comes and it stems from you, God. We thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. See, there's a lot of questions, that many of times I am asked. But the one question that sticks out in my mind the most is the question of how do I know if I am truly saved? How do I know if, I'm a child of God? How do I know that if something were to happen in my life today, how do I know that I would, make it into the gates of heaven? See, there's a point, where a person accepts Jesus Christ in their lives. How many know that? At that point, what we are is we are now, joined together in the things of God. They understand, talking about people. They understand the sinfulness of their lives, they understand that Jesus paid the price for their sin. And that by only trusting in what Jesus did upon the cross, that is the only way to be right with God. They choose, they choose to accept and trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We understand all that. We understand that the Word of God says, unless a man is born again. We understand, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. But the problem is, that we understand all those things, but yet many of people still keep, trying to impress God to stay right, with him. They try to do all kinds of different things to make sure that they are right with God. So what happens, when a person now sins after they have accepted Christ? Is there a point, somewhere that you and I cross that we can lose our salvation and never know it? See, all of these thoughts, and all of these questions, you might ask yourself, or you might have asked yourself in your past. Let me ask you a question this morning. Can you honestly say to yourself, I am saved? Raise your hand. I am saved. Are you secure? Because how many know if some people are doing this? I don't know. So that's why it's somewhat up, somewhat down, because I don't know. See, that's where our insecurities come from. That's where our insecurities. God, I've done some things that I don't know, God, if you would accept me. I've done and I've thought, listen, all these different things that play out in our lives because nobody knows you but you better than you. Amen. How many know that? You know what you think coming into the church. Amen. You come in here, you sit down, you're smiling, but what did you think before you came into the church? Amen. Some of you are like, man, let me just open up the altar, Pastor. Let me repent. Let me be right again. See, are you secure with who you've accepted into your life? Are you secure this morning, amen, that 100% you know that you are saved? See, we know this, that we are saved because the Word of God says that God is the author of salvation. Can I tell you? You didn't think up one day and say, you know what, God, I need to be right with you. You didn't wake up one day, listen, like me, amen, in 1999, October the 19th, I didn't say to myself, you know what, God, tomorrow I'm going to get right with you. I continued to do what I was doing, but God began to move. See, verse says, it's the verse 6 says, he who has begun the good work in you. So who is he? He is God. What is the good work? The good work is salvation. So what can you and I learn this morning, amen, from what the Apostle Paul is saying? He is saying that God is the one who began the good work. He is the initiator of salvation. Before you were even aware, listen to me, before you were even aware, God had already started processing and bringing you unto himself. John 6:44 says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise, amen, him up in the last day. See, people in that time where Jesus spoke those words, people were following Jesus all around to see, amen, the miracles of and the next big wow thing that he would do. He makes a statement, and he says these words. He says, I am the bread from heaven. Many couldn't understand that. Many at that point said, who does he think he is? We know his mama, Mary. We know his papa, Joseph. How does he make that statement? We know his brothers. We know where he came from. But he is saying, I am the manna that came from heaven. See, to that point, amen, people were content. They loved and they enjoyed the miracles. They loved the fact that Jesus provided for them. But they could not accept who Jesus said he was. So Jesus tells them that they, amen, will not be able to accept them unless God gives them the capacity to do so. See, many people, amen, don't understand that when we come to Jesus, when we come to God, God was already working long before you thought about it and the lights came on. I need to come to Jesus. My wife's testimony. My wife and I were married, amen, for just a little bit over 4 years. I thought I was the best thing in life that ever came to her. Amen. I know you might say, Pastor, but listen, just all jokes aside. I wasn't raised a Christian. She was. She had been asking her mom, Mom, what do I need to do? Mom being mom who was already saved. She tells her, this is what you need to do. This is what, you need to be able to do. My wife, being with me, she says, he's never going to allow that to happen. So you know what God did? It blows my mind away. If I would not allow that to happen, listen to me, I would have fought her tooth and nail for her to go and get saved. So God, in his infinite wisdom, aligned, amen, for me to go to NTC for 45 days. He took me away from the picture, put me in a place, amen, where I'm in the boonies of California desert, and God begins to work upon my wife. Coincidence, I know. It's all a coincidence, right? But see, in the midst of me being gone out of the picture, my wife wakes up one day and she says, I cannot do this anymore. Mom, I need to get saved. Her mom prays a prayer with her. The very next day, listen to me, the very next day, my wife is working at a Cash America pawn shop. The girl comes in, amen, she is now a missionary's wife in Thailand, Cancun, amen, there, Khun Kan, amen, Thailand. She comes in, she has a ring, and she's trying to get to conference in San Antonio. She goes into the pawn shop. Out of all the pawn shops where in Killeen, amen, there's nothing but, there's three things in Killeen. There's pawn shops, amen, there's a foul, amen, places. Amen. And there's car lots. Out of all the places there in Killeen, she goes into where my wife is working. She says, I need to be able, amen, to get some money. I need to go to San Antonio. I'm late. Can you hurry? My wife tells her, okay, this is how much money I'm going to give you for the ring. She leaves. Amen. She comes back and she says, all I want to do is tell you that Jesus loves you. And she leaves. And because of that, my wife goes, amen, to the Potter's House Church. She gets, amen, right with God. I come back. She's heckling me, go to church, go to church. And I'm like, listen, you want to go to church? You go to church. Just leave me alone. Let me live my life. She says, I want you to go. Just come one time. I came one time. This October the 20th will be, amen, 27 years. I came one time. Even though I didn't know it, God was already working through my wife to be able to touch my life, and that's why I'm here today. Amen? That's the only reason. But I know the stars aligned, Pastor, and all these different things. Listen, amen. God was already working. God was already drawing. God was already moving, amen, upon different things that he orchestrated these things for his good. See, before any of us here ever came to Jesus, can I tell you, you and I were spiritually dead. Spiritually dead means that we were not able to understand or comprehend the things of God. Verse 3, I thank, my God upon every remembrance of you. In verse 3, amen, of the book of Ephesians chapter 2, among whom also we all were once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Can I tell you? I didn't always wear a nice shirt and a tie. My life consisted of jeans and t-shirt. I was spiritually dead, folks. I knew nothing about the things of God. See, we were living according to our flesh, the desires. We naturally, amen, followed the prince and the power of the air. In other words, we were like devils. We were like the devil. But while you were dead, imagine this, while you were dead, God made you alive. God made you alive. God drew you, out of this lost, sinful state, and he saved you. And this is because of one thing, his unmerited favor of grace. And it wasn't because of who you are. I know